This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A vacant hotel in Williamson-Mingo County is set to open as a sober living facility run by the county's housing authority. As Molly Bourne reports, the complex is likely to be a controversial addition to the southern West Virginia town hit hard by the opioid epidemic.
At a recent open house, visitors touring Serenity Point got a glimpse of the apartments that planners hope will one day house 60 men and women in recovery. Residents will wake up to inspirational quotes stenciled on the wall. "Don't be ashamed of your stay," one read. "It will inspire others." As drug abuse continues to ravage Appalachia, Belinda Harness, executive director of the Housing Authority, hopes the facility will help stem the tide.
We can be in denial all day long, but it's just going to keep getting worse. And so it's time for us to say, okay, how do we help these people? How do we get them on the right path to become clean and sober?
When the Housing Authority was first exploring what to do with the former hotel it began leasing a little over a year ago, Harness pitched the idea of a detox facility. But she decided the agency shouldn't be in the business of managing medical treatment and decided on a sober living apartment complex instead. It's a midway point between detox and independent living, where people work on their recovery with peer support, and in this case, special recovery coaches. But scheduled openings have come and gone. Harness says she's now ready for tenants to move in, but workers were still installing floors in the lobby late last week. Meanwhile, critics have questioned its location, size, and its approach that includes no on-site medical staff. Mayor Charles Hatfield has been among the facility's most outspoken critics. He hoped to see the building transformed into a space that would remain on the tax rolls and benefit tourism.
Well, I don't want it to sit vacant. I don't want either for the community. If it's vacant, it's not producing revenue and people aren't employed there. At the same token, if it's going to be occupied by this facility, well, it doesn't provide any economic benefits either for our community.
Harness has another view.
I don't know that it's going to have a huge negative impact. I think that the additional business for the other businesses in town is going to make up for what was lost with it not being a hotel.
While some have been critical of the location, which is also near two bars, Harness thinks it's ideal, close to hospitals and to the drug court, a potential partner. Among the visitors at the open house in late March were residents from Crossroads, a long-term recovery home with a faith-based treatment approach for women in Gilbert, in the southeast corner of Mingo County. Michelle McKinney, who's originally from Clarksburg, says she hopes to transition to Serenity and work as a mentor.
Hopefully, God willing and the creek don't rise. I'm supposed to be one of the first residents on the women's side. Hopefully.
15 months clean, McKinney says a spot at Serenity would put her closer to the local community college where she's in school and to her job at an ice cream shop in nearby Logan County. She and a friend walked through the apartments. The units are plain, but each has its own bed, dresser, bathroom, refrigerator, and new floors.
You're talking to somebody that's never experienced anything like this, and it's hope.
Tenants must be drug-free for at least 2 weeks and medically cleared by a doctor to get accepted. Most will be from Mingo County or from southern West Virginia. They'll have to check in and out and can't use drugs or alcohol. Security and staff will be on site. Up to 5 recovery coaches will support residents and meet with them daily. If they need mental health or other services, Harness says Serenity will connect them with a provider and help them get there. She says the project will cost about $2 million, paid for so far by the business arm of the Housing Authority, money the agency made from consulting and other projects. She hopes to get grants and loans to offset some costs, but none are definite yet, and she's hesitant to release more details. A federal grant she was hoping for didn't work out after the federal agency became bombarded with calls against the project, she told the Williamson Daily News last year. Vouchers from the U.S. Department of Urban and Housing Development will support the facility, and residents will pay 30% of their income for rent when they have jobs. Still, Mayor Hatfield questions whether the Housing Authority is out of its element.
Mingo County Housing, I feel, does not have the experience to be operators of this type of facility.
Running a sober living facility is not a common undertaking for housing authorities, but Adrian Todman, CEO of the National Association for Housing and Redevelopment Officials, says these agencies have taken on different roles in their communities in the past 25 years as the needs have emerged.
Sometimes they're the ones that are helping families that are trying to move from recovery into a permanent situation. Many times housing authorities don't take up that role because they're not funded to do that by HUD. It's not extra money that they have on the table to provide services. You are seeing housing authorities really playing a stronger role in the social space.
Harness acknowledges the facility itself defies many traditional definitions. As an apartment complex, for instance, it's not the typical sober living setting whose structure resembles a group home.
And we don't fit the mold. We don't fit the sober house mold. We don't fit the, you know, rehab center mold. We don't fit any of them. So we just call it Serenity Point, and that's what it is, Serenity Point.
When it opens, the facility will be among the first of its kind in the state. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Molly Bourne in Williamson.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. There's a winter weather advisory in the southeast till noon today. 1 to 3 inches of snow possible there. Rain and snow today with highs in the 30s and 40s. Chance of rain and snow tonight with lows in the 20s and 30s. Tomorrow, a chance of rain and snow early in the north, becoming partly sunny statewide with highs in the 40s and 50s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. West Virginia University welcomed a new Mountaineer mascot to the fold last week. From inside the passing of the rifle ceremony, Brittany Patterson has more.
Gloomy skies outside couldn't dampen the spirits of dozens of well-wishers who gathered inside the Erickson Alumni Center to officially welcome the 65th Mountaineer mascot.
Let's go!
Mountaineers!
Let's go!
Mountaineers!
The newest Mountaineer is senior accounting major Trevor Keese. Tall, with an easy smile and impressive beard, being the Mountaineer has been a lifelong dream for the Elkins native.
It's been a dream of mine for a really, really long time. You know, the Mountaineer means so much to the state of West Virginia, and that makes it so unique. You know, whenever I was a young child growing up in West Virginia, the Mountaineer meant so much to me personally. And whenever I was in high school, the Mountaineer visited my high school, and that was the first time that I realized that I could be the Mountaineer myself.
Keese has big plans when it comes to putting his own spin on the Mountaineer during the next year.
For myself personally, I want to, you know, be a Mountaineer that everybody in West Virginia can be proud of. I want to make sure to travel the state and a lot, try to make it hopefully to all 55 counties.
Keese takes over the iconic rifle and fringe-adorned buckskins from two-term Mountaineer Troy Clemens. In his last appearance as the Mountaineer, Clemens reflected on his time as the mascot.
There's just so many people to be thankful for, and such a great family here at the university that I've been very, very fortunate to be a part of.
A handful of former Mountaineers were on site to explain the 90-year history of the Mountaineer and talk about the mascot's importance, not just to WVU, but the entire state. They also shared some words of wisdom with Keese and his family. The next year will be a wild ride, but one you'll never forget. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
There are more than 2.7 million seniors in the Ohio Valley. As this aging community grows, so does the lack of control over many aspects of their lives, from transportation to health care and more. Nicole Irwin reports that even something as simple as a pool tournament can raise questions about who calls the shots in a senior's life.
Billy Hobby mostly does two things. He goes to church and he plays pool.
Play every day, mostly.
And his wife Barbara is usually by his side.
Well, I enjoy watching him play, and he's got health problems, can't go out of town and play all the time.
The Hobbies are in Katy's, Kentucky this morning, about 20 miles from their home in Princeton. The 86-year-old pool player has come to compete in a weekly pool tournament. Local senior Glenn Harold is here to play as well.
We've got some elderly gentlemen that are handicapped, Parkinson's disease, taking cancer treatments and so on. If you watch some of these gentlemen walk around the table, and you see the short steps that they take. It takes them a long time, but when they get over the table, they shoot some fantastic shots. That is their ability to compete at that age, and it's something that they look forward to.
You wouldn't know immediately that Mr. Hobby has Parkinson's disease, but you can hear his tremor a bit as he explains his confusion over a recent dispute.
You can come to the tournament down here, or Hoptown, either one, and that's what we don't understand is how they keep having tournaments here and in Hoptown, and we can't. It's all managed under the same management, you know, PACS.
Hobby is referring to Pennyroyal Allied Community Services, known locally as PACS. The group manages the senior centers in the area, including Hobby Center in Princeton, where pool tournaments were banned. Harold Monroe is PACS executive director. He says PACS provided more than 130,000 meals to seniors last year and transported seniors from 9 counties more than 2.5 million miles to places they needed to go.
We are more than just a senior citizen pool playing service provider to the Pennyroyal counties.
The Older Americans Act provides funding to area management groups like PACS to fulfill part of the Act's mission to promote the dignity of older adults by providing services that enable them to remain independent. Murray State University sociologist Whitney Casty Kaywood says seniors often struggle to maintain an identity later in life. She says having a lack of control over decision-making affects their independence.
For emotional well-being, it's important and it's part of our social work code of ethics, I would say, that we try to maintain and preserve the individual's sense of empowerment as much as possible.
The federal funding carries a requirement that area management groups like PACS maintain an age advisory board, and at least half the board should be seniors receiving services. But PACS Director Monroe says local centers have the choice to decide whether or not seniors are consulted about changes affecting services.
First of all, they don't have any input in the decision making because they're not in a position of authority, ownership whatsoever to that. If we make a decision to sell a coffee pot, that's our decision to make as the providers of that service for the aging services.
Which brings us back to the pool tournament. Jill Giordano chairs the Senior Aging Council for Princeton and voted to ban pool tournaments at the center. One reason the tournaments were canceled is because the pool players were charging a fee to play.
Well, that's not appropriate. It's not appropriate in the Senior Citizen Center for several reasons. Number one, we're federally and state funded, and we don't provide services for people to have to pay for. More importantly, we have seniors that don't have $2 to play pool.
But the Princeton players tell a different story.
It's been very sad.
That's Lewis Gray, another senior who used to play in the Princeton tournament. Gray says they removed the once-a-month tournament fee after a notice from the senior center.
That affected the morale of the gentlemen, first off, because they were afraid they were going to lose something that they loved.
Still, the board did away with the tournament and several pool tables.
And they voted to sell the pool tables and buy one good table and move it back over in the original location, which is in the center of everything, so that the director could keep an eye on us. She treats the old people there like their children.
Dennis Amundsen, another senior Princeton pool player, says the group was blindsided. He feels seniors should have more say in a system that's supposed to support them.
Well, you know, this is a democracy, and when it affects probably close to a majority of the people who use the center on a daily basis, I'd say I've got a problem with that.
Giordano says seniors can still play pool. It's just in a smaller room with only one table. The seniors say that isn't good enough. The players would have to draw straws to play with those limitations. Giordano says the decision is final. Still, Billy Hobby is holding out for a better resolution.
It helps me get out the door and go. It's something that I enjoy doing, and I just hope it's settled one of these days and we can all get back to our normal days.
Did you get that on that? Did you record that? They want to take that back.
I'm Nicole Irwin in Princeton.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.